Welcome to Toati Mecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Meyerfeld, and I can hardly believe that we are ending our learning of Sefer Shemot together. It's been an amazing 11 weeks focusing on timeless lessons from the women who built our nation. We finished Sefer Shemot this week with Parashat Pikudei. With each step they take in the wilderness, the Jewish people are marching towards and getting closer to the ultimate ideal, a spiritual life in our homeland, Eretz Yisrael. Our hearts and thoughts are in Israel. Everything that we say, think, or do is through Israel-focused glasses. Israel is not just a land, it's a spiritual manifestation. In Israel, there's a unique geographical feature, one of many. There are two seas, both fed by the Jordan River, the Yarden. Just sounds so much more beautiful. The Yarden first flows into the life-filled Kinneret. The Kinneret Lake is life-filled because it receives and gives water. The Yarden then flows to the Dead Sea, which only receives. To receive but not to give in Jewish geography as well as Jewish psychology is simply not life. In every culture that Jews live worldwide, Jewish generosity is evident. Just recently in New York, $1 billion donated in medical school scholarships. The Talmud teaches that more than the donor gives to the charity benefits the donor. And Winston Churchill famously repeated this sentiment saying, "You make a living by what you get, but you make a life by what you give." This is why the Torah again tells us that the Jewish people gave willingly. Their lives literally depended on it. Pikudei is called the accountant's parsha because that is how it begins, with the audited accounts of the money and materials donated to the Mishkan. In this way, the Torah teaches us the need for financial transparency. In matters of finance, particularly when public funds are at stake, there should be no opportunity for temptation and no doubt regarding their intended use. There could be rumblings of Moshe's use of public funds, and here the Torah makes clear that every ounce was used correctly. Bezalel and his assistants complete their tasks, and all the Mishkan components are brought to Moshe, who erects the Mishkan, anoints it with the holy anointing oil, and initiates Aaron and his sons into the priesthood. The Parsha ends beautifully when the cloud presence of Hashem indeed comes down from the heavens and rests in the Mishkan. The book of Shemot started with the epic narrative of grand miracles and confrontations with Pharaoh, divine intervention, and liberation. Contrast that with the last half of Shemot, focusing on the seemingly mundane, meticulous construction of the Mishkan. As we look deeper, our eyes are open to the wonder of a profound parallel between these chapters and the incredible narrative of creation in the book of Genesis. We see similar wording, work, completion, and blessing, linking the human endeavor of building the Mishkan with God's act of creating the universe. Similar acts of separation and delineation of space. Adam and Eve are adorned with precious stones, and so too in the Mishkan, the holy vessels and the priestly clothing. The creation was God making space for people. The Mishkan was people making space for God. But more than that, this intentional parallel invites us to consider the significance of human creativity within the broader context of divine creation. Genesis depicts Hashem establishing order out of chaos, and the orderly construction of the Mishkan is a creative response to the potential chaos of unbridled freedom. While freedom allows for individual expression, it's within the framework of order in the Torah that true liberation is found. As the Jewish people transition to the structured environment of the Mishkan, they demonstrate their capacity to uphold Hashem's order and find true freedom within it. In order to get to this point, the people had to have been focused on freedom way before they came to build the Mishkan. So as we reach this finale of freedom, to understand and appreciate it, this freedom of the Mishkan, we need to trace our roots back to the before. We need to build ourselves a picture of the darkness, the hate, the slavery. As a frame of reference, I use the Holocaust, which I can picture in my mind a little bit. Our enemies tried physically and psychologically to break down the Jewish nation. Physically, we have the same mass murder, public whippings, executions, back-breaking labor. Psychologically, eradicating any sense of self. Shaved heads, yellings, beatings, lack of dignity. Slavery of body and mind. When I was growing up, in olden days, as my kids say, Russia was a part of the Soviet bloc. One of the Jews imprisoned for engaging in Jewish and Zionistic activity was Anatoly, now Natan, Sharansky. In his memoir, Natan Sharansky describes being constantly defiant of his enslavement. When he was told to eat each meal at a specific time of day, he refused. To go outside at a certain time, he refused. And what gripped the world, what glued us to our screens, was watching that when crossing to freedom, he was told to walk straight across the bridge, he zigzagged back and forth till he reached the other side. Never to accept an order from his guards, even at the very end. Natan Sharansky says he was never a prisoner because his mind was free. And I quote, They tried their best to find a place where I was imprisoned, but all the resources of a superpower cannot imprison the man who hears a voice of freedom, a voice I heard from the very chamber of my soul. We all have things in life that imprison us. We're blessed as a people we're not imprisoned physically, but emotionally, spiritually, rationally. There are things that we know deep in ourselves aren't true, but we're stuck. We feel stuck. We don't move. We don't change. Negative thoughts, connections to people that are negative for us, influences of outside like Hollywood or others, delineation of priorities and focus, our work-life balance is not in balance. How do we survive that? How do we keep the voice of freedom loud from the very chamber of our soul? That's what we really want to know. And I quote again, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. We must meet the forces of hate with the power of love. This quote from Martin Luther King, of course. The power of love. I want to share a beautiful love story. What started with a dinner date and a glass of wine, it ends with a mishkan. While the enslaved Jews were making bricks in Egypt, the men were forbidden to sleep at home. This was one of the Egyptian ways of destroying Jewish life. Men's response to the slavery was to separate from their wives. There's no point in a relationship if the babies would be born into a life of slavery and be killed or die. Maybe this is the rational response, and it can be debated, but in any case, we know that the women were not convinced. What did the women do? Your average, not so average, because there is no average woman. The Midrash describes what they did. The women would go to the Nile to draw water, and Hashem would fill their jugs with little fish. They would sell some, cook and prepare the remaining fish, and buy wine with the proceeds of the sale. Then they would bring it to their husbands in the fields. While the men were eating and drinking, the women would take out their mirrors and sit next to their husbands. Together, they would glance into the mirror, seeing both of them together. They would say, I am more beautiful than you. Ani na'a mimcha. And the men would reply, I am more beautiful than you. Ani na'e mimech. In that way, the women would revive the men's spirit. Don't try this at home. This is not a modern-day pickup line. Most people don't want to be told that their partner thinks they are less attractive. We usually say, you look nice tonight. What is this, I am more beautiful? No, I am more beautiful. The Torah is not Instagram. They didn't realize that thousands of years down the line, people would want to see their dinner and their shoes. When things were recorded, there's a lesson to learn, and it's more than Insta-worthy. I am more beautiful. No, I am more beautiful. The women are worried about having nameless, faceless slaves with forgotten identity. We want people to have a desire to live, a desire to connect with other people, and the strength to develop themselves and others. In order for there to be personal desire, there has to be the I, has to be a sense of self to connect. So insightful of the women to know that no one should forget self. We need identity, self-esteem, the beautiful ani, I, of every person. The greatness of these women is that they don't just see a sea of faces. They see individuals and a recognition that individuals need individual care. They are building the I. I heard in the name of the late Diane Arantroy of London that ani na'e mimech can translate instead of I'm more beautiful than you, it can translate as I'm more beautiful from you. The women built their husband's self-worth by sharing how they made them feel more beautiful. And the men replied, I feel beautiful because of you. We can all help the people in our lives feel more beautiful, more valued, and also show people how they make us feel good about ourselves. Turns out that late-night sweet nothings are really something. The Jewish women knew the secret of sweet somethings. What would keep the people going till God's redemption and free nationhood? The power of the individual. Know that every single person has a role to play. Help them find their eye. Judaism is a religion with no middlemen. No one can do Judaism for you. Everyone represents themselves in a relationship, a personal relationship with God. The women built the individuals that would be able to experience the redemption and the God relationship. The goal of the women of Egypt is not seduction and children. The goal is relationships and freedom. You can only have a relationship with individuals. The women of Egypt knew that the key to freedom is hope. The women of Egypt glowed in the dark. They were the light that kept glowing, that everyone could see even in the darkest of darknesses. They knew it's not the end of the story. They taught hope that light would shine even brighter. I'd like to share one of my favorite Talmudic texts. The Talmud describes people all being born out of the same mold. Every person seems like they would be identical, yet there's no one like me. Someone might be relieved, but seriously, so simple but so profound. Each person has a role to play that no one else can play. The Talmud finishes by saying, therefore every single individual is required to say, Chayav Adam Lomar, a world was created for me. Bishvili Nivra Olam. There's an entire reality in place for me to do what I have to do. If the history of the world is a puzzle, I have a piece to fill that's completely up to me, and if I don't do it, no one else can do it the same. And even more amazing is that this applies to everyone. The day you were born and every day you wake up is a day that God decided you have what to offer. How important is this positive messaging? In the world today, people's worth is judged in comparison to others. In the Jewish perspective, there is no comparing. You are unique. You have a purpose. You are beautiful. During the dark years of slavery, even Amram, the leader of the people, was ready to give up. Pharaoh decrees the boys to be killed at birth, and Amram separated from Yocheved, his wife. The Midrash tells us that Miriam, his daughter, spoke up and said, excuse me, Abba, I think you've missed something. Pharaoh isn't only killing the boys. By not having any children, you're also killing the girls. Miriam and her father are not having a technical discussion. Of course, Amram knows that men separating from their wives results in also no females being born. This is not about sugar and spice versus frogs and snails and puppy dog tails. They're having a hashkafic, philosophical debate. Jewish lineage comes from the mother, but leadership roles pass down the patriarchal line, kingship, priesthood. Amram felt that if the leadership line was broken, the Jewish people couldn't survive. Miriam taught him otherwise. The Jewish people would survive. They would continue through the women. The women were responsible for the home, the foundation, and the building of individuals and community. And new leadership would eventually be born. Miriam argues for the everyday people, and her reward is houses, houses of kingship, because the everyday people become the kings of tomorrow if we believe in them. In fact, it wasn't just Miriam. It was all the everyday women who knew greatness comes from within every person. They took their mirrors and went to their husbands in the fields. I am beautiful. And yes, I am beautiful too. And they knew this concept must be preserved and taught for generations. It's the deep focus of the greatness of one that would build the greatness of the nation. So after the Exodus, when the Mishkan is built in the desert, the women bring their mirrors as a donation. Moshe sees the mirrors and becomes furious. He doesn't understand. This isn't holy, he says. And God answers him, Moshe, it's just the opposite. Don't you realize? This is completely holy. In realizing the holiness of each individual, there's hope for the future of the greatness of the nation. The donation of the mirrors to make the kiyor, the washing basin placed at the entrance to the Mishkan, reminded everyone that this freedom that they were working to integrate was not only dependent on their recognition of Hashem, but also dependent on their recognition of self. Knowing their own power as individuals would allow them together to exercise the freedom they'd been given. This concept of building community through building individuals is a thread throughout Sefer Shemot. Batya showed us that we have the power to see Hashem and to choose. Elisheva taught us we have the superpower in our soul to experience both and to contain multiple emotions. Yocheved renewed within us the youthful exuberance to be proactive. Miriam's fight song, Ashira la Hashem, to have faith and pray for connection. Sarah inspired us with pillars with which to build a home. Rachel reminds us to put up healthy boundaries. Rivka taught us to stay true to our values, and Leah weaving rigidity and compassion, never giving up on our relationships. The everyday heroines of Egypt focused everyone on redemption. They are the prototype for our personal and national redemption. The prophet Yechezkel's description of the future redemption has the same three milestones that we found in the book of Shemot. The first milestone, a physical redemption. In the first redemption, Exodus from Egypt. And in the ultimate redemption, as we have seen in the last years, Kibbutz Galuyot. The Jewish people are being gathered from all the various countries to Israel. The second marker is the spiritual redemption, the giving of the Torah as a guide to deep, mindful, spiritual life. And as Yechezkel describes in the future, I will give you a new heart, says Hashem, v'natati lachem lev chadash, and a new spirit I will put within you, ruach chadasha eten b'kirbechem. The third milestone, the visible relationship between us and Hashem. This was established in the Mishkan, as the book of Shemot concludes, for the cloud of God is by day, and fire shall be in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel in all their journeys. Yechezkel beautifully describes this third marker that we now have to actualize, Hashem's residing openly in Israel, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. We've been entrusted with this mission, to bring Hashem into our lives, to recognize our own individual uniqueness. Every person should have their own words of affirmation. I am beautiful. I am unique. It starts by seeing the Tzelem Elokim, the image of God, in ourselves and in each other. We each glow even in the dark. Ner Elokim, Nishmat Adam. The soul of each person shines the flame of God. Each individual, beautiful soul. I sit watching the strong flame of the candle we have lit in our home this year in memory and tribute to the 1,145 beautiful holy souls brutally taken on Simchat Torah, October 7th. Amongst them, 38 beautiful children. On Simchat Torah, we have 20 orphan children and 96 children orphaned from one parent. We pray for healing for over 3,300 physically injured that day and those emotionally injured, of which there are no numbers. Over 20,000 children have been assisted with physical and mental injuries related to the war. Our hearts break daily for 253 beautiful hostages, of which only 112 are home. May they all be healthy in body, mind, and soul. The heavens sparkle with the souls of the tzaddikim, pure, beautiful soldiers and civilians that have given their lives on all our borders. I whisper the words of the prayer for our brave, beautiful soldiers. And the she-heroes and their families, babies who haven't met their fathers, school parties missed, birthday parties planned alone, Friday night dinners, weekday dinners, bath time. And think of the prayers we say for all the beautiful people who live their lives, building their own homes and volunteering their time, unconditionally giving their love to others. We have all come together to make order again from the chaos. Jewish history has been paved by the actions of ordinary people, and Jewish destiny will be filled with ordinary people's actions. The present shines through our ordinary, most extraordinary actions. Pikudei means to take account. The parsha starts with an accounting of the physical items in the Mishkan, but it also teaches us to make an accounting of ourselves. Each beautiful individual needs to know that they count as we come together to build a nation. As in the redemption from Egypt, so too in all redemptions, we are inspired to mirror the women of the mirrors, to remind ourselves and others that I am beautiful, I am unique. Hashem loves me, Hashem loves each of us. It is us, all beautiful people, together as a people, standing on the shoulders of giants, building a vibrant community of ordinary people, doing extraordinary things, taking steps towards true freedom. Knowing that without Hashem we can do nothing, but with Hashem we can dream big and do anything. Biyachad nenatzeach, united we will bring the ultimate redemption. Chazak, be strong, each beautiful individual. Chazak, be strong on your beautiful personal journey. Vinit chazek, we are strengthened together as a beautiful, united Jewish people. I truly thank you for joining me in learning together.